Turn with me to the book of Genesis and to chapter 26, the last couple of verses of that chapter, and then into chapter 27. Genesis chapter 26, at verse 34. Let us hear the word of God. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son, here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man, and I don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country and hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Isaac left to the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked him, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Esau said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's riches, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and people bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I'm your son," he answered. "I am your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I've made him lord over you, and have made all his relatives your servants. I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." Then Esau wept aloud. His father answered him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness.
Hear the word of God.
Away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck." Well, may God help us to understand his word today. Isaac, the forgotten patriarch, is the subject of our studies over these four Sunday mornings.
Let's hear the word of God.
I reckon he's forgotten, Isaac, for two reasons.
When Esau
First, there's not much about him in the Bible.
Old, he married Judith.
And secondly, what there is about him isn't all that spectacular or memorable. In fact, some of it's pretty uncomfortable, and we don't want to remember it.
They were a source.
Do we? But, having said that, we can't get away from the fact that Isaac's story is here in our Bibles, written for our instruction. We've noted how the Genesis writer begins to give us the Isaac story in chapter 25, verse 19. He begins with a very brief recap of Isaac's life, covering incidents he'd already mentioned in the Abraham life story. His father was Abraham, and that he was married to Rebekah when he was 40. And then he goes on immediately to tell us how Isaac prayed for Rebekah, his wife, because she was barren. He spends the rest of chapter 25 telling us about the twins, Esau and Jacob, and how Jacob managed to get the birthright from Esau. Not much, really, about Isaac. But then, as we saw last week, chapter 26 is all about Isaac. The twins aren't mentioned. Rebecca's only mentioned in passing. It's a sort of overview of Isaac's life. So it's good the Bible class are with us today because you're getting the whole story, okay? Here's an overview of Isaac's life. That's what we looked at last week. The early period after his marriage and before the boys were born. This period he was doing his own thing. Yes, he was a believer, you see. He'd been brought up in a believing home. He'd seen his father's faith. He'd been taught about the Lord. But he was doing his own thing, trying to work things out himself. And so when a famine came, off he goes to the land of the Philistines because he knew there was food there. And the Lord was gracious to him. Then in the middle period, after the boys were born, about the time his father Abraham died, Isaac was, we suggested, trying to be different, trying to be God's man, trying to do his best for God. He's slowly on the move away from Israelite territory, but only slowly. And God in this period is very good to him. But then there came a day, we're calling it the latter period of his life, there came a day when he went up to Beersheba. He returned home. And God spoke to him. He built an altar. He called on the name of the Lord. He was back in the land he should have been in, and the Lord promised to be with him. That was an overview of Isaac's life in that chapter, an overview of his spiritual journey. And we were challenged last week about our lives as Christian believers. What stage are we at? Doing our own thing? Trying our best for God? Or at home, trusting where we should be? Well, having given us that overview, the writer now focuses in again and gives us details of one incident towards the end of Isaac's life. Now he's old. His eyes were so weak he could no longer see. He thought he was going to die. The fact that he apparently lived a good few more years is really beside the point at this stage. He thought he was going to die. Well, the chapter doesn't make pleasant reading, does it? Not one we particularly want to remember. But I suggest it's one that can teach us a lot if we'll hear it. Remember Isaac's back home? We thought about that last week. The Lord was speaking to him. He was calling on the name of the Lord at his altar. Remember, the king of the Philistines had even come and acknowledged that the Lord was blessing Isaac. He was having an impact now on his neighbors. Isaac, you see, is God's man. He's the son of promise. He's the one through whom the blessing promised to Abraham was going to flow to the nations. But, this incident shows us in no uncertain terms that whilst all might appear well on the outside of Isaac's life, everything is not well on the inside. Isaac is determined to have his own way in regard to his son and the blessing. And that's my first point. Isaac determined to have his own way. We see it in verses 3 and 4 of our chapter, where Isaac, having called for Esau, tells him to prepare some of his favorite game stew and bring it to him so he can give him his blessing. The blessing that he had received from Abraham that he was to pass on to the next generation. Now, we know from chapter 25 that Esau was Isaac's favorite son. Do you remember that verse 28? Isaac loved Esau but Rebekah loved Jacob. And we noted at the time, when we studied that chapter, that loved there means more than he had affection for him. It means in this context that each parent was determined that their favorite son was going to get the blessing. Well, the years had passed, and nothing's changed. Isaac is still determined that Esau would get the blessing. Now, we need to remember that the Lord had said, even before the twins were born, that there was going to be strife and separation, but he said the older will serve the younger. Esau was the older, so Esau would serve Jacob. Jacob, not Esau, should get the blessing. Now, Isaac knew that. I don't think we can get around that by saying, well, this was a word of the Lord to Rebekah. She would surely have shared it with Isaac, and Isaac would know what the Lord had said. So, Isaac knew. But he made Esau his favorite. Well, one reason, of course, was that Esau was a skillful hunter. He was a man of the open country. He was a man's man, and Isaac liked his game stew. Jacob was a home bird. He just liked to stay at home. Isaac liked Esau and was determined he was going to get the blessing. Now, I suggested 2 weeks ago, and several of you have teased me about this, but I suggested that Isaac maybe had tried to manipulate what the Lord was saying to suit his own way of thinking. Maybe in Isaac's thinking, maybe the struggle that the Lord had talked about had taken place in Rebekah's womb. And maybe Jacob was really supposed to be the older, but the Lord had thrust out Esau first. So, in this twisted way, maybe Jacob was the older, and he would be served by Esau, and therefore Esau would get, I'll get all mixed up, Esau would be the, get the blessing. Now, it sounds pretty far-fetched and pretty complicated. You don't understand it, do you? But that's complicated, but isn't that what people do with God's word? We twist it. And sometimes some of these biblical scholars, sometimes these theologians can come up with all sorts of complicated things just to suit their own ideas. Anyway, forget all that. Isaac was determined that Esau was going to get the blessing. And that, despite what we read in those two verses at the end of chapter 27. Esau, when he was 40, we're told, and that means Isaac was 100, married these two Hittite women. Now, back in Genesis chapter 18, the Lord had told Abraham that he'd chosen Abraham, so that he would direct his children and his household after him to keep the ways of the Lord by doing what was right and just. Isaac must have been taught that by his father. And Isaac, I'm sure, could never forget how his own father had gone to such lengths to ensure that he got a wife for him, for Isaac, from his own native land and not from the surrounding nations. But here Esau marries two Hittite women. Women with completely different traditions, completely different religious and moral traditions. And Esau, it's clear, cared little about these things, just as he'd cared little for his birthright. Look what the writer says in the last verse there. These two women were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. To Isaac, it was grieving that his favorite son shouldn't listen to him and should let these women introduce this poisonous, divisive influence in the home. And it was grieving to Rebekah to have these pagan influences in her home. And knowing that she favored Jacob in inheritance matters, they are undoubtedly prejudiced against her right from the start. But, I'm saying, despite that, despite this grief he was caused, Esau was going to get the blessing. So you see, here's the picture. Here's the man of God. God's man. The son of promise. A believer. Worshipping at his altars, calling on the name of the Lord. To the outside world, God was blessing him. But all is not well in his soul, is it? He is determined to do his own thing in this area of the blessing. And as a result, all is not well in the home, favoring one son against another, and there's obvious tension with his wife. And Isaac cannot see it. He cannot see that Esau has no interest in spiritual things. He cannot see that Rebekah might be right on this one. If only he'd thought a bit more about his father Abraham. How, when things seemed most helpless, the Lord intervened and sorted it out. His own birth was an example. How his father, even his father, had been wrong in his dreams about his firstborn son Ishmael. And how Sarah, in opposing him, had been right. How his own father had been prepared to sacrifice his favorite son, himself, only to get him back again. Oh, should he not be listening to Rebekah? Should he not be giving up Esau? But no, Isaac was sure he'd got it right. He wasn't going to see the circumstances. He wasn't going to see that his wife, he wasn't going to see the example of the past might be speaking to him. Now I've labored that a bit because I think that's where there's a real challenge for us today. Some of us have been Christians for years. We trust the Lord. We can tell you the day we were converted. We are regular at worship. Other people have been influenced by our testimony. Everyone thinks that we are a pillar of the kirk. But inside, we are insisting on something, are we? We've got this right, we're sure. Maybe it's involving our children, is it? We are determined that he or she is going to go in this direction. Maybe it's involving the church. Maybe you're an elder. And you're determined that this has got to be done in this way. And you won't listen to circumstances. You won't listen to your wife. You're insisting on your own way. It happens, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it? This may be happening for you right now. It tells us an important thing about being a Christian, you know. It tells us that it's possible to be in a right relationship with the Lord, but there to be an area of your life where you're insisting on your own way. Isaac was determined. Well, notice secondly what happened. Isaac was devastated by what happened. Look at verse 33, towards the end of the story. Verse 33, Isaac trembled violently. He's a broken man. Now we read what happened. Rebecca was listening at the door when Isaac told Esau to go and prepare some game for him in preparation for the blessing. I guess she was very suspicious. I guess she'd been listening at the door lots of times, don't you? And this was the day. And she springs into action as soon as Esau left. She sets to work. She summons Jacob. Go and get those two choice goats. I wonder how Jacob felt about going and getting his hands dirty. Anyway, he went and got the goats. I'm going to make some of his favorite stew. You need to be pretty heavily seasoned if goat stew was going to taste like game stew. Anyway, she had it all worked out. So that he may give you his blessing. That's the important thing. And when Jacob objects that his brother was hairy and he was smooth skinned, his father would be sure to feel him and he was going to be cursed, she said, let his curse fall on me. And they went with their plan. Rebecca makes the stew. She dresses up Jacob with the goat skins and she sends him in. And Jacob, well, you lose count of the number of times he lies, don't you? I'm Esau, your firstborn. He gives credit to the Lord for getting it so quickly. He insists he really is Esau. And Isaac is taken in. Oh, he had his doubts. He thought the voice was Jacob's. But when he felt his skin, when he smelled his clothes, it was Esau. And so he proceeded to give the blessing. And what a blessing it is. Now he could die. He'd got his way. His favorite son had been blessed. No sooner had Jacob left the room and breathed a sigh of relief, no doubt, Esau returns from hunting, prepares his stew, takes it into his father. Can you imagine how the old boy felt when this time Esau's voice said, my father, sit up, eat some of my game stew and give me your blessing. Yes, I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau. No wonder he trembled violently. He was devastated. He was broken. Now we could have spent a long time looking at Rebecca and Jacob, analyzing what they did. Hard to work out who's the worst, isn't it? One scheming, the other lying. All to deceive their old man. The Bible doesn't pass any comment. Just tells a story. Oh, we discover later the misery it led to and how the Lord sorted them all out. But we are looking in these studies at Isaac. So let's concentrate on Isaac. We feel sorry for him, don't we? An old man being tricked by his own family. and ending up devastated by what happened. But listen, this is the amazing thing. This is the Lord's doing. Isaac was his man, the one through whom the nations were going to be blessed. Rebekah, for all her scheming, was right in wanting Jacob to get the blessing. And Jacob, for all his smooth lying, was the one chosen by the Lord to be the channel of blessing to the nations. And listen, if Isaac wouldn't listen to the Lord's word, if he wouldn't listen to his wife, if he wouldn't listen when Esau time and again showed his disdain for spiritual things, if he wouldn't listen through the grief that he was experiencing, then the Lord would have to make him listen. Esau wasn't going to get the blessing. Jacob was. And in the end of the day, nothing was going to stop the Lord having his way. And so if Isaac proved to be so stubborn, then the Lord would deal with him severely. Oh, the Lord didn't deal in haste. He left him long enough. But in the end of the day, he had to deal with him decisively. It was the Lord who devastated Isaac. But he did it in grace to further his wise purposes. Now that is something to say to us today, hasn't it? Tells us that the Lord always has his way. It tells us if we insist on having our own way, despite what the Bible says, despite what close friends say, despite what Providence says, there'll come a time when the Lord will have to deal with us. And for some that might be devastating. That's a thought, isn't it? The Lord will have his way. Isaac determined, Isaac devastated. Thirdly, look here, Isaac delivered, set free. Do you notice what Isaac said as he realized what had happened? Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? He knew who it was, didn't he? He'd recognized Jacob's voice anyway. He knew it was Jacob. This time he goes on, I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him. Now listen to this. And indeed he will be blessed. Now I don't think that's just a recognition that having given the blessing, that was it. It was final. Surely he could have found some way of revoking the blessing. There'd been so much lying and deceit, surely. But no. Isaac has been brought to his senses. He's been brought to an end of himself. He realizes in those seconds what a mess he's made of things. He realizes that God has dealt with him. He realizes that it's the Lord who's devastated him. And he accepts that. He accepts that Jacob is the chosen one. I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. And despite Esau's pleas for a blessing, Isaac doesn't change anything. He gives him a very inferior blessing. See, Isaac has been delivered by the Lord. He's been struck down in order to be set free. Did you know that Isaac is mentioned in that chapter 11 of Hebrews, that chapter of the heroes of the faith? Isaac's there. Now, if you were writing that chapter, what would you pick out as an indication of Isaac's faith? Would it be his willingness as a teenager to be bound on that altar and to be sacrificed by his father? Would it be the way that he gladly accepted Rebekah as his wife? Well, it was neither. This is what the writer says. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And it's this passage he's referring to. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. You see, in the midst of all Isaac's determination to have his own way, in the midst of all the lying and deception, Isaac is delivered by the Lord. And he realizes how stubborn he's been. He realizes that the blessing he'd uttered from the Lord had been from the Lord. I blessed him. And in faith, he says, indeed he will be blessed. Isaac delivered by the Lord. Isn't that amazing? You see, the Lord knew what he was doing. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. And yes, the Lord may have to devastate us, but he does so in order to deliver us. And Isaac's a changed man. We'll see a bit of that next week. He's back speaking to his wife. He's speaking to Jacob. If you were to read on, you'd realize how, you'd see how Jacob had to be changed and was changed, and Esau wasn't. This story tells us in no uncertain way the Lord always works his purposes out, always. But this story is also a warning for the Christians amongst us, for Christians. If you keep on insisting on your own way, the Lord has ways of changing you. And listen, it's not just for old people, you Bible class. It's not just for old codgers like Isaac when he's so blind he couldn't see. Isn't there someone in the New Testament just the same? Simon Peter. He knew that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said so. But Peter insisted on having his own way. Jesus, he said, you can't go to the cross. That's not going to happen. You can't go to the cross. He is a believer, but insisting he knew best in one area. And Peter insisted on that. He insisted on it in front of some slave girls one night. Denied Jesus. And then Jesus looked at him, and Peter was devastated. He went out and he wept bitterly. He was devastated. But just 3 days later, Jesus met him. Jesus recommissioned him. Jesus delivered him. So are you a Christian believer today? Are you an older Christian perhaps? Are you determined that you've got it right? Yeah, despite what the Bible says, despite what your spouse says, despite what other believers say, you're sure your way is right. Well, here's a warning for you. Remember the Lord. The Lord will have the last word. And if I insist on our own way, then the Lord will have to deal with us. Maybe in devastating ways. But when he does so for a purpose. To deliver us. And to further his purposes in the world. And to give us faith. He'll give us faith to accept his word. And to go on and live for him. Well, we have a great God, don't we? I think we'd have had enough of Isaac long before this, wouldn't we? God hadn't. What a great God we have. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you don't abandon us in our stubbornness. You didn't abandon Isaac, but you brought him to his senses. Save us as believers in Jesus, as your children. Save us from insisting on our own way. Rather, keep us walking in your ways all our days. In Jesus we pray. Amen.